I want to speak upon a very important subject, what Christ died off. What Christ died off. What He didn't die off, and what He did die off. When we hear of a death, the first question that we quickly ask is, what did they die of? This question is prompted by various shades of interest and concern. The inquiry about the causes of death of someone we were not only casually aware of has a very different emotion and pain than that relating to a death of a dear friend or of a family member. If it is so, then the inquiry stirs up feelings and emotions of the deepest sort. I think there is one question which should be asked by all acquainted with the life and death of our Savior. And it is an inquiry of what did He die of? The Bible tells me we must all needs die. That is a solemn fact about the mortality of all mankind. But there is one person it is not true of, and that person is the Lord Jesus. There is something that is beyond argument, and that is of what the Lord died. We have only to read the calendar, and each year rings forth the fact that Christ died. There is no room for argument here. It's an incontrovertible fact that the Lord Jesus Christ gave up the ghost at the cross of Calvary. What is true of Christ's death is also true of Christ's resurrection. Christ was resurrected the third day according to the Scriptures. And He challenges and defies the whole ages of the world with the affirmation, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. It is most profitable to understand and affirm with Christ of what He died. Because of whom Christ was, and He was incarnate deity. He was God manifest in the flesh. He could not have died as all the ordinary fallen sinners of Adam's race. The soul of that sinneth, it shall die. It's true of all the sons of Adam. But Christ is the God-man, and He's completely outside that net. But it is, however, a fact that our Lord did die, and we need to learn the reason for His death. Could I say, first of all, Christ did not die because of defilement. He did not die because He was defiled. Defiled means corrupt and polluted. There was absolutely no defilement in our Lord and Savior Christ, Jesus Christ. He was pure as God's heaven, from which He descended to to come into this world of ours. Deravide smote all around him, but it never smote him. He had no defilement. Although defilement was all around him, none of it polluted his heart, or his soul, or his mind, or his being. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. His was the unstainable purity of heaven. His was the impregnable purity of God. His was the purity of total sinlessness. He was purity, celestial and immortal, stainless and as pure as his Godhead. He was clean, every whit from every defilement of his own. He was stainless because he was sinless. He was sinless because he was stainless. Spotless, stainless, sinless, shameless, Son of God and Son of Man. When at a distance, Lord, we trace the varied glories of thy face, what transport pours o'er all our breasts and charms our cares and woos to rest. Away, ye dreams of mortal joy. Yep, raptures divine my thoughts employ. I see the King of glory shine. I feel his love. I call him mine. O Tabor, thus his servants viewed. His luster when transformed he stood. And bidding earthly scenes farewell, cried, Lord, 'tis pleasant here to dwell. Yet still our elevated eyes to nobler visions long to rise. That grand assembly we would join, where all thy saints around thee shine. That mount, how bright! Those forms, how fair! 'Tis good to dwell forever there. Come, death, dear envoy of my God, and bear me to that blessed abode. Christ did not die because of defilement. Secondly, Christ did not die because of debility. Debility is the stamp of old age. It is abnormal weakness, languor, and extreme feebleness. By all who live on this earth, when they grow old, debility puts its mark upon them. Debility indicates that old age is a weakening work. The pillars of the body are shaking and decaying. The outward walls of the body are crumbling. The horn has blown, warning us that the end is drawing near. But our Lord Jesus was not old when he died. He was just 33 years old. As one preacher said, Christ could have profitably spent his vital energies and passed into decline like other men, the tissues of his body decaying, and the fire and force of manhood passing away. But not so. Christ gave his life and all the glory of what was in reality extended youth. Christ laid on the altar of sacrifice His perfect manhood. He did not die of old age. He offers not the members of a body weakened by debility. His manhood was in its power when He took to the way of the cross to bring us to God. He died in the flame of His youthful fire. He was God's beloved Son. Well could the hymn writer write, Jesus is all my hope, His death is all my boast. But for His sovereign grace, I should be forever lost. Redeeming blood and dying love, here be my theme, and when above. All that remains for me is but to love and sing, to worship and adore my Savior, God and King. Each stripe, each bruise, each bleeding wound speaks love and peace to all around. Do you know something of the speaking blood of Christ in your heart? Thirdly, Christ did not die of disappointment. Disappointment has dug many a graveyard and multitudes of graves. Many a lover has had his or her life destroyed by disappointment, which eventually proved to be a certain killer. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ had many disappointments. How grieved He must have been when He looked at an apostolic band which once had hundreds in its train, and now He was left only with 12, and one of them a murderer. And He said, "Will ye also go away?" How sad He must have been when Peter, James, and John fell asleep. They couldn't watch with Him one brief hour when He needed them most, in the dark and bloody sweat of Gethsemane. How disappointed He must have been when His neighbors and friends in the city of His childhood seized Him and tried to kill Him by throwing Him over the mountain cliff face because they hated His teaching. How disappointed He must have been when all the disciples forsook Him and fled from the Garden of Gethsemane. How disappointed He must have been, and overwhelmed He must have been, when Peter denied Him with oaths and curses in the high priest's house. But the swords of these disappointments were not sharp enough to take away the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, from the very beginning of His ministry, demonstrated that the cross, and the cross only, was the way He was going to die. The cross was ever before His eyes, and every step He took was along the way to the cross. His apostles wanted to hear something entirely different from His lips. In unity with Peter, they said of His death on the cross, "Far be it from Thee, Lord." But it was not far from Christ, but rather very near Him. The cross was the greatest certainty before the Lord from the day he was born to the day that he cried, "It is finished," on the cross. There must have been great disappointment in the life of our Lord Jesus, the way he was treated off by a world of sinners. But no disappointment could kill the Lord Jesus Christ. He took a power far beyond that to kill the Prince of Life. Him being delivered by the determinant and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up. Christ did not die of disease. The vaster number of all the dead are slaughtered by the diseases so rampant in our world. The history of Adam's race reports that mankind are continually subject to the onslaught of disease. The world in which we find ourselves is in the thick with bacteria. Fatal death germs are everywhere. They wage an unending war of death against all humanity. Microbes and men fight a never-ending battle, and it's the microbes prevail in the end. The size of disease is as sharp and as mortal as ever. Its swords are monuments that they are the swords of conquerors. Christ was just as open as any other to the attack of disease. His humanity was real humanity, but it was not sinful humanity. He was not made in the likeness of sinful flesh. It says he was not made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Our Lord did not hide or conceal himself from the battle with all types of disease. Rather, he walked triumphantly among it. He didn't hide himself away. He faced disease at every turn of his ministry. Matthew 4:23-24. Mark 1:32-34 and verse 40. And you read there, in simple language, the many, many people who crowded him because of their illnesses. We read, "There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and healed them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. Great multitudes came to hear, and to be healed of their infirmities." The record of Christ in the field of healing is wonderful. But the Lord himself suffered from hunger. He became sleepy. He was thirsty. His body was under the laws of humanity as far as his manhood was concerned. We've already spoken of Christ mixing with all of those suffering with diseases of the day. He did not withdraw from the sick. Rather, he made them better. He did not steer clear of the lepers. Rather, he touched them and he made them whole. The unclean and the devil possessed were not forsaken, but but rather he mixed with them for their healing and relief. There is no record that Christ was ever sick. He was never ill. He never was smitten by any of the diseases of the body and mind. He went about healing those that had them. He never, even temporarily, had to withdraw from his ministry because of weakness or sickness. He was in constant and close bodily relationship with the sick, but he never took ill. Christ was never infected. He always had the highest unfailing health. As one writer recorded, not only was he immune from all diseases into which he came so regularly and daily into contact, but he radiated life. Life stemmed from his very touch. There was virtue in the very hem of his garment. This being so, we could not believe that he actually died because of the common diseases of his day. The fact is, sickness could not survive in the immediate presence of the Savior. This was also of true itself. Only three times during his earthly ministry, Christ came unto the immediate presence of death. He met death face to face in the dead body of Jairus' daughter. But Jairus' daughter didn't remain dead, because he who was life restored her to life. He faced death again when he stood at the coffin of the dead son of the widow of Nain. But he raised him from the dead. And when they took the stone away from Lazarus in his tomb, he was face to face with death again. But Lazarus walked home from his own funeral. There must have been some excitement that day when a man to be buried walked home from his own future. Christ reigneth forever and ever, and no disease could master or hold him. Christ did not die of destitution. How many of Adam's race have died of hopeless destitution? Hopeless destitution, what a killer it is. What a taker of precious life. What a murderer of man, women and children in their tens and hundreds of thousands. No one was ever poorer than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was poorer than anyone else because once he was richer than anyone else. So he knew the peak of riches, and he knew the depths of poverty and destitution. Think of his words. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. This was literally true. It is a startling fact. You will remember him asking the questioning Herodians, "Show me a penny." He did not ask for a penny. He had no longing to have one penny in his own pocket before the world's show. He said, "Show me a penny. Just show me a penny. I am penniless." Christ was, of course, very poor. But he had a garment that was valuable because it was saleable. Gambling was not for a rag, but for a goodly raiment. No, Christ did not die because of destitution. Christ did not die because of a damaged body. Of course, the body of the sweet Lord Jesus was severely damaged by cruel hands of wicked men. Acts 2:24 tells me, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. But it was none of these wounds and acts of barbarous and hellish cruelty which were responsible eventually for Christ's death. The abuse he suffered in the night in the high priest's house, on the dark of betrayal and treachery, were not responsible for his death. The awful whipping in Pilate's judgment hall was not responsible for his death. The crowning of his head with the crown of thorns was not responsible for his death. The pulling of the hair from off his cheeks was not responsible for his death. The nailing of him to the cross was not responsible for his death. None of these were responsible for his death. He did not die of a damaged body. Minutes before he died, he cried with a loud voice. A man who has a damaged body can't cry in a loud voice. Of course, the cruelness of Christ's crucifixion were accessory to his death, but they were certainly not its cause. Christ's life was not taken from him. He voluntarily gave it up. That was his own choice and no one else's. He had power to lay it down. He had power to take it again. This commandment he had received from his Father. Therefore he said, my Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Tell me, why did he die? And how did he die? He died because he had surrendered to the Father to do the work that alone could save sinners. A substitute was needed to take the sinner's place. A mighty exchange must be carried out. The Savior's substitute was to take the vile sinner's place and all the wrath of hell which they deserved was to be legally imputed to their sin-bearing substitute, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. He would die in their stead. Once their sins were transferred, it was forever. Christ would bear their hell. He would be damned for them. That is what Christ did on the cross. He settled the sin account. He died the just for the unjust. He atoned for his people. He redeemed them from all their iniquities. And God raised him from the dead, having justified all that he had atoned for. Sinner, call upon him now. He will save you. For Christ died for sinners. And thank God I can say, Christ died for me. And thank God I can still say, Christ died for thee. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, write thy holy word upon our hearts this night. for Jesus' sake. See of the ungodly, restore the backslider, and revive thy people in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.